Merry Christmas, everyone. It's great to see you. In Galatians, we read, "But when the time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons." Lord God, we're grateful that we can gather this morning to worship and praise you. Thank you that you sent Jesus to us, a Savior. Thank you that he was God with us. Thank you, Lord, that you brought salvation, and we celebrate that. Thank you for all you've done. We would ask, O Lord, that you'd encourage our hearts and strengthen our faith as we spend time with you this morning. To you be the glory. Amen. Well, I received some news this morning from our Babylon Bee correspondent in Israel. And Babylon Bee, of course, is fake news you can trust. So, well, it turns out, and the story goes, the rookie angel Raphael unleashed total panic after forgetting to shout, "Fear not," when he showed himself to a bunch of Israelites. "What a noob," cackled Gabriel as he doubled over with laughter. "Those poor people thought Armageddon had come. Classic." Well, the disheartened angel Raphael hung his head in shame as he recalled back the events to his giggling captain. "I had no idea how terrifying I looked to humans," he exclaimed. "It took like an hour for me to get one of the shepherds to stop running. After all the training we did on talking to people, I totally blew it. I'm such an idiot angel." Well, after all the chuckles subsided, Gabriel reassured the rookie that every messenger angel has had awkward interactions with humankind. "Son accidentally made the prophet Daniel sick for like a week," said Gabriel, throwing his arm around Raphael's shoulder. "Remember, in human minds, we're skinny little guys with a penchant for robes. It's a real shock to their fragile little system." Well, at publishing time, Raphael had been entered into a remedial talking to humans without unleashing total hysteria, of course. Or so the story goes. Well, we've been talking a lot about the angels of Christmas this year, and we've talked about, what is an angel? Well, it's a messenger, and they work for God. The good ones do, at least. And the fact that they were created wholly by God, and they're mentioned throughout the scripture, I believe in like 34 different books, and mentioned, almost 300 times in the scripture. And they're ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. God sends them to take care of us in so many ways. We'll spend a little time talking about what the angels are like, and then we'll talk about the amazing message they gave to the shepherds. A lot of my resources I got from godanswers.com on the internet. It's a great site. I recommend it. I also use my old Bible College Ryrie's Basic Theology, too. Well, one thing that's interesting, if you look in your handout in your bulletin, there does seem to be some kind of organization of the angels. The Bible speaks of the assembly and of the council of them in Psalm 82 and 89. Almost seems like there's some kind of a ranking. Ephesians 3 talks about rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, referring to good angels. And then in Ephesians 6, it talks about the bad angels, when the rulers, the authorities, powers of the dark world, and spiritual forces of evil. We don't exactly know how they're ranked and how it all works, but we can infer that somehow both God and the devil have organized things. There's some controversy about hierarchy, though. Which ones are the highest in the pecking order? Is it the cherubim and the seraphim and the thrones? And others kind of say, then the next you have the dominions and the virtues and powers, and then angels below them. You know what? The Bible's really not clear about that. So I wouldn't really spend a whole lot of time trying to figure out which angel's the top dog. Though it does say that, it does mention chief princes at one point, and Michael is an archangel, so if anyone's got a higher role, it probably is he. But one thing that's interesting is the scripture talks a lot about angels, almost 300 times, but also it mentions some other spiritual beings which may or may not be angels, and scholars differ about them. Some of these spiritual creations are like cherubim and seraphim, the archangel, the chief princes, and even the angel of the Lord. Well, you've probably heard of cherubim and seraphim. And cherubim, they're the ones that are there. They serve as guardians of the holiness of God. They may or may not be angels, but they seem to be of a real high rank because it's said in Ezekiel that Satan was a cherub. They're first mentioned in the Bible and back in Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve are driven out of the garden, there's a cherubim stationed to keep them from coming back in. So they're guarding things. And a lot of times if you read about the tabernacle, or the temple, on the curtains, there's images of the cherubim. There's even cherubim that are on top of the Ark of the Covenant. So they seem to guard, again, guard the holiness of God. And David sings a song of praise to God in which he says, God mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. At one point when Ezekiel sees the glory of God leaving the temple, he sees cherubim carrying the throne of God. And later on, the cherubim are described in Ezekiel as having four faces, those of a cherub, a human being, a lion, and an eagle. It may be that that's how they always look, or maybe that's just how they revealed themselves in that particular vision. Some would say the four living creatures in Revelation 6 are cherubim, and others say, no, that represents the attributes of God. Since we don't know that much about him, study him, but I wouldn't make a giant case and try to figure out exactly what they are. But they do seem to spend time worshiping and praising God. It's interesting that both the cherubim and the seraphim are said to be winged creatures. We don't read that about the other angels, and if these are angels or not, we don't know. And the seraphim, it's interesting. Seraphim is a word, it comes from a word that means fiery or bright. It may be that they're just fiery beings. It may be they're a distinct kind of angel. I don't know. Isaiah chapter 6 is the only time we read about the seraphim in the scripture. And there, they have six wings, and two to fly, two to cover their feet, two to cover their faces. And they're singing praises to God. And when Isaiah is there and he realizes he's in the presence of God, he's like, oh no, I'm a man of unclean lips, I'm doomed. And the seraphim comes and brings a coal and purifies him. It says, your sin's been taken away. That's the only time we're really told about them. Of course, you have the four living creatures, and Ezekiel 1 and 10 talks about those, and Ezekiel mentions them being cherubim with, again, the different four different faces. So there's all these little tidbits of information which God doesn't totally flesh out for us. Perhaps in heaven he will. I don't know. But all that to say, there are these spiritual beings God created. When you get to the archangel, Michael is the only one who is named, and that's in Jude 9. We're told that when Jesus comes back, he'll be announced with the voice of the archangel. I am imagining his voice will not be high and squeaky. Get ready for Jesus. No, that just doesn't sound right. You know, it's going to be pretty majestic. You'll be like, whoa, you'll be paying attention. In the books of Daniel and Jude and Revelation, the archangel is portrayed as a warrior angel who engages in spiritual combat. And the word archangel means angel of the highest rank, so you assume he is an angel. In Daniel, we're told Michael is called the great prince who protects your people. Well, it seems like in that regard, there must be some kind of pecking order and authority, but we're not sure exactly how it all works out. It also may be that archangel is a role more than a distinct kind of angel. The key is he does have a special place, but he's not God. He is only an angel. At one point, we read in Jude where the archangel is disputing with Satan, and it says that he dared not bring a judgment of blasphemy against Satan, and he calls on the Lord to rebuke him. But of course, when Jesus was talking to the devil in the desert, he could speak to the devil, and the devil had to listen to Jesus. So let's just say the Lord Jesus is way higher than any angel ever could imagine or will be. The archangel also has a role in Daniel and Revelation. Another spiritual being that is there, there's also the angel of the Lord. And this is really interesting. We have some clue. It talks about angels and then it says the angel of the Lord. It's really thought that that's a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, or else it's God himself showing up in a different kind of fashion. And he shows up, oh goodness, many different times. In Genesis 6 and 21 and 22 and Exodus and Judges, Samuel and Zechariah. At the resurrection, we're told an angel of the Lord showed up and was communicating with the ladies, but it's not the angel of the Lord. In this case, it's not a created spiritual being because it would be God himself, but it is kind of category a little bit. Well, let's get to our story. Angels are an important part of the story, but they're by no means the main character. The child they're announcing definitely is. Our story begins where Caesar was calling for a census, ordering everyone to their hometown. And of course, we read with the kids, Joseph went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for him at the inn. The family was in Bethlehem, and that means house of bread. It's interesting, later on, Jesus would say that I am the bread of life. That's kind of getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. But being placed in the manger and not having room in the inn, that wasn't a real fancy, special beginning for the birth of God in human form. But you know, his presence wasn't going to be hidden for much longer. Because outside that little town, we look in the next couple verses, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Note it says an angel of the Lord, not the angel of the Lord, because that would have been kind of strange if the pre-incarnate Jesus is up in the sky, and at the same time, the incarnate Jesus is in the manger. So nevertheless, it was a regular angel. But not only the angel's appearance, but the glory of the Lord was shining. That would have been incredible. I love a little how the kids and the Kenyan kids kind of portrayed the Christmas story a little bit. Yeah, they compressed some details and they didn't get everything quite 100% like you'd find in Matthew and Luke. But it's still fun to see the Christmas story through children's eyes. But just like the folks in the video, they would have been afraid of the angel. So were the shepherds. But this time again, it was good news. It wasn't a death warrant they were ringing. It was life being offered. And so the angel says, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. It's amazing. These shepherds are just regular folks. They're like you and I. They had jobs. They worked. They had to go pay their taxes. They lived in the pasture and not the palace. They had hopes and dreams, just like you and I. They wondered, is God going to show up? And they'd heard about him, and they knew that God hadn't really spoken for 400 years, but they also probably hadn't heard about the angelic appearances to Zechariah and Mary and Joseph either. Why did God choose to reveal this news to the shepherds? Well, 1 Corinthians tells us, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chooses ordinary people like us to share his good news. I'm glad that God didn't just go to the beautiful or the special or the powerful people. The message the angel had was for every single one of us. We fit in that category. And the news was good and it was joyful. Why? Because this was news from God to all the people. And here's what the news was. Today in the town of David, a Savior's been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I love it. Today, right now, you can go see it. And that was the case back then. It's also the case now. Today's the day of salvation. Turn to God right now. You know, when God did that, it was no mistake in the timing or the place. God was working all the details out. That was true for when Jesus was born. It's also true for when you were born and where you were born. And the fact that God worked details out so you could hear about the Savior who was born for you and hopefully respond to it. Well, the angel uses three titles for Jesus. He says Savior, that means deliverer. Christ, which means the anointed one, or the Messiah, the one the Jewish people have been looking forward to for thousands of years. And Lord, which means Yahweh or God, the one in control. And then the shepherds were told who the baby was and then how to find him and how to know this was true. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Well, in Jewish custom and culture, a newborn child would be washed and rubbed with salt because I guess it was supposed to do something to the skin, and it speaks about that in the Old Testament. And then they'd wrap them tightly, limb by limb, with swaddling clothes and hope that they'd grow straight. It probably also helped him to feel secure and probably warm considering the circumstances. Well, that would be the sign for the shepherd. But you know, a child wrapped up like any other newborn, that's what all the newborns look like. So how are they going to know the difference? Well, there was where the child was laid. It wasn't going to be on a pillow. It wasn't going to be on the couch. It was going to be in the manger. Well, evidently that's all they needed to know because that's all they were told. And then we're told, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. We sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, but actually it says, the troop of angels was praising God and saying. I don't know why they weren't singing. They sing later in Revelation, but here they're speaking. But they want to make sure everyone gets the message. Glory to God in the highest. What's really important is not how they proclaim the message, but the fact they did. God is to be praised in the most awesome, amazing way imaginable. You know, it's interesting too. If the angels were so quick to give glory to God, we should be quick to give him thanks as well. Maybe you saw the little video about Christmas presents last night that we showed, how a guy woke up and said, I'm alive. Oh, well, let's give thanks for that. And then he realized his kids were there and his family, his wife. And then he's like, oh, we have running water. This is great. And even down to coffee in a car. It's like, wow, what amazing gifts. We are to give thanks to God for the small things as well as the big things. We could say, wow, I mean, in days of respiratory viruses, I can get air in my lungs. That's a big, we shouldn't take that for granted these days, let alone the fact we have a Savior who's come to give us hope in the future and take away our guilt and our shame. Well, the angels then say, peace to men on whom his favor rests. It's interesting. God has announced, it's like, the salvation is available. Who will receive it? And those that will receive it, his favor rests upon. It's only through Jesus, and it's only through those that say, I'm done with my sin, I'm done living for myself, I need a Savior. Will you be mine, Lord Jesus? It's knowing that he shed his blood on the cross. He gave his life for us. He was buried. He rose again. He paid the full price, so we don't have to pay it. And we can instead have his righteousness put on our account. Well, when he's in control of our lives, then Jesus later would describe the process. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Well, when the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. They connected what the angels were saying with a message from the Lord. Like you and I, they had some questions. And so it's like, well, let's go check it out. I mean, that was pretty amazing to have an angel tell you these things. But they made a good decision. Let's go see. And wouldn't you know it? So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Wow, just like they'd been told. And it doesn't say that there were swaddling clothes, but evidently that's exactly what they found. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what them they'd been told about the child. I have a feeling they were hollering, running down the street, letting everyone know what happened, because had they gone out to the fields, there would have been nobody else to tell except the sheep. But they told everyone, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Everything they heard was true, and that gave them joy. And they went around telling him, God, the Messiah has come, the one from God. This is good news. We want you to hear. And they let the folks know, if you want to go see him, this is where you'll find him. He's wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Well, that's what we proclaim at Christmas. God is drawn near in Christ. The one who to save from sins has come. God has set his plan of salvation in motion. You know, there were some different responses to this message. One was quiet and one was kind of excited. You know, but in Mary's defense, I don't know of any mom that right after she gives birth wants to run around town. You know, from what I've observed the two times, it's like, just let me hold the child and be relaxed, because I was just in a lot of pain recently. So what we read about Mary was Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. It's like, wow. All these, what the angel said to me, to Joseph, and to the shepherds, it's all come to pass. But meanwhile, the shepherds, they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Isn't that beautiful? They were given the full picture. God revealed what they needed to know, and they were able to confirm it. And they were fired up as they went and told everybody. It was a good thing to go and check. It was a good decision to go and check things out. And it was also a great decision to praise and glorify God because of what they'd seen and heard. Well, today's a great day to praise God. I'm glad that you've chosen to spend part of your Christmas day here with God's people to honor him. It's a little strange having Christmas on a Sunday. I don't think the next one will be for 11 years because of leap year. But I'm so glad that today we can celebrate the birth of our Savior together. There's no better time, which you would, many consider, oh, Christmas is a family day. But this is a family of God and those who God has encompassed kind of day. I know many of you are going to hit the road and join other family. The Wades have a long drive, and maybe some of you do as well. But I pray that God will bless your travels, and he'll also honor your commitment to him this morning. I know it was kind of hard to roll out of bed and make my way here, even though I only had about 40 steps to take. And all of you came farther. But it's because our God is worthy of praise, and because he's good, for what he's done in our life. And I pray that the rest of your day will be a true celebration, whoever you are with in the next little while. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're worth praising and glorifying. Thank you we've been able to come. We've been able to learn some. We thank you for the angels that you send to serve. We thank you, Lord, that you're way more important and powerful than they are. And you're the one that looks after us ultimately. We thank you, God, that we could be together, and I pray that each one would have a special, special rest of their day. Thank you that we can worship you. You came near so we can know you, so our sins can be forgiven, so we can have peace and hope in your presence in our lives. You are a good, good God. Amen.